This is the Ultrasounds Show, and my name is E-Love.
And we are very, very blessed. We have Krishna Das on the phone. He's been called the Chant Master of American Yoga, and he's joining us tonight to speak about this fantastic new CD and to talk about his new book, Chants of a Lifetime. Let's see if we can align all the planets. Greetings and welcome to the Ultrasounds Show.
How you doing?
Marvelous. Thank you, sweetheart.
I wanted to begin at the beginning of the journey when you met Ram Das. What happened from that point onwards?
I had been living in upstate New York on a piece of property owned by some very wild and wonderful people. They were Jungian acid head mountain climbers. And they were really great. And they knew of Ram Das, Richard Albert, from the old days with Tim Leary. And they heard that he was up in New Hampshire, having just come back from India. So they went up to see him. They asked me if I wanted to go. And I said, no, I don't want to. I'm not interested in the Western yogis, you know. So I stayed home and I took care of our two goats. Madame Blavatsky and Alice Bailey were our two goats. And they were supposed to be gone one day. They came back about 3 or 4 days later. And the guy gets out of the car, and he just looks at me, and there's light coming out of him. And immediately I just said, write down your directions. I'm leaving now. And I ran out to my place, and I got my stuff together, and I literally just left.
And got a goat sitter?
I had a goat. Yeah, boy. It was amazing. And I drove all through the night, and I arrived there in the next morning. And when I walked into the room where Ram Das was sitting, immediately, without anything being said, without eye contact being made or anything, I knew that whatever it was I was looking for, and I didn't really know what I would have called it at that point, but whatever it was, I knew it was real. I knew it existed in the world, and I knew I could find it. And that was an amazing moment, you know.
It's a moment that many, many seek.
Yeah, and it was a total shock to my system. And as time went on, I got closer to Ram Das, and we spent time together, traveled around the States a bit together, and I began to realize that what I had felt in that first moment was his guru. Neem Karoli Baba was his name. And I knew I had to go to India to be with him. And that's what happened. And after about a year and a half after I met Ram Das, I went to India and I did meet Maharaji, and I spent about 2.5 years there. So
it's interesting that sometimes our judgment comes into play, where you had said, oh, I'm not going to go see Ram Das because he's an American guru.
Yeah.
And then now here you are in this position of being where you're at and sharing the divine with others. How does that feel? Do you ever kind of go back in retrospect?
Well, first of all, what I share is the practice that I do for myself. You know, I don't claim to be anybody's teacher or anybody's, and I don't claim to know anything. What I share is my practice, and that's the practice that I do for the sake of my own heart. And I think because I do that practice and I'm learning to do it more deeply all the time, in the chanting sessions, people also feel the power of that practice, and they use that and they can get inside themselves as well. So I don't really feel like I'm doing anything to anybody or for anybody as much as just sharing what I do for myself.
And it seems like those would be the words that Neem Karoli Baba may have said too. Did you ever share anything along those lines?
He didn't talk much. Yeah. He didn't talk about spiritual stuff almost, you know, and when he did, it was in such simple terms that you hardly realized what he was saying, you know. He would say things like, it's all one. He would raise his finger up and look at us. Sub-ek, all one. And, you know, he would say that many, many times to us, and over time, you begin to recognize what he's talking about. And he said, many paths, many names. Only one, all one.
Beautiful.
And he said, you know, we asked him, Baba, how do we find God? And he said, serve people. So we thought, wait a minute, you know, what about yoga and breathing and meditation, you know? So we said to him, well, Baba, how do we raise Kundalini? He said, feed people. So he had gone all the way out and come all the way back and spoke in the simplest terms, in the most human terms that describe the way to break down your feelings of separateness and your fear of others. And he didn't talk in spiritual terms to us. He talked in human terms, in very real, concrete ways. He never told us to meditate. He told us to feed people.
Mm-hmm.
He never told us to do yoga. He told us to serve people. He never encouraged us to do any practice that was aimed at our own spiritual enlightenment or our own personal practice for our own sake. He always turned us towards thinking about others.
And you mentioned earlier that the practice is something that you do and has obviously served you as well.
Sure.
So what kinds of things have shifted in your life? For example, for someone that doesn't do a practice and has no concept of a daily practice and singing the divine, can you share a little bit about some of your personal experiences, how it's affected you?
Well, first of all, the way I look at it, I don't talk much about God. I don't talk much about the divine, you know, in those terms, because I believe that that's what's inside of everybody. And if we just remove the crap around that, that will shine through. We don't know what's in there. It's beyond anything we can think or imagine or conjure up in our minds with concepts. And it's beyond emotions as well.
Mm.
So these practices are purification practices for cleaning off the mirror of our hearts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we look in that mirror, there's less and less dust, and our own beauty, our own true shape, we're able to see that. So that's kind of the way I feel about it. For me, it doesn't work to talk about the goal so much as because you never really know. You asked me about the effect of practice on myself, and what I could say to you is that what's changed is me, the perceiver, the one who perceives the world. And so the world looks different to me. I don't think that the world has changed, but what's changed is the way I see it, because there's less of me covering up that deeper part of myself. So I see things in maybe more clearly, or maybe without as much subjectivity as I used to have. So in a sense, you just keep removing that kleshas in our own heart, the obstructions and the dirt on the mirror.
Mm.
And then what's really there will just shine through. But this is comes. You can't imagine this. You can't make it happen by thinking about it. It's something that it's a change that happens in you over time through practice of some kind. It doesn't have to be a formal sitting meditation practice, but you have to feel that you're doing a practice that's helping you. If you do, then that's fine, because you're the one that knows.
So going to chanting the names of God, for somebody that has not a familiarity with the Hindu faith,
mm-hmm.
and has the question, well, what if I'm not of that faith?
You're here, aren't you? It doesn't matter what you think your faith is. If you feel something that you like, that's what you go for.
Beautiful.
You don't need to be told anything. If people are coming to kirtan, it's because it's working for them. They don't have to identify themselves as being a member of any. I'm not a Hindu. Nobody ever initiated me. My own guru didn't want me to be a Hindu. He wanted me to be a human being, a good human being. That's what it's about. And these names, even though in India these are called the names of God, everybody in India knows that God lives within. And these are all the different forms of what's inside of everybody. So these are the names of that place in each one of us that is exactly what we want to be, that is our true nature. So it's not that they're names of the Hindu deities. The Hindu deities themselves are doorways into our true nature. Mm-hmm. They are manifestations of our true nature. But it's not necessary to believe that or to have some kind of blind faith in that. That's just a waste of time. Do the goddamn practice and see how you feel.
You're listening to WMNF Tampa, and we're speaking with Krishna Das. I love that you said that, because there are so many misconceptions.
Yeah. The whole world is a misconception. You know, who we think we are is a misconception. Practices remove misconception, whatever it is.
That's the beauty of it. your new CD, Heart as Wide as the World. With this CD, you've interpreted both the traditional chanting along with American lyrics.
Yeah.
What was inspiring you to do that?
Some kind of strange perversity, maybe.
I love that you've combined them both.
Yeah. Well, you know, English, it wasn't something really contrived. It was something that just happened. You know, English started coming to me. I've avoided English mostly because it's very difficult to say something that isn't manipulative, emotionally manipulative, or say things that you don't really know.
Mm.
You know, I mean, because once you're talking in your native tongue, you're expressing yourself in a certain kind of way. So the English, I feel, the way they merge together is that the English kind of sets a tone or gives a certain, what they call in India, a bhav, or a feeling that leads us into that, into the chanting of the name even more directly and more with more depth. Because there's a certain strength to, you know, what they call sadbhava, or pure heart or pure thoughts. You know, pure in the sense of that they aim at only love and nothing else. So the English that surrounds the chants on the CD are there as a way of focusing and entering into that practice with more intensity, because they work together. The music, for instance, is like a sweet syrup, you know.
Mm.
When a kid is sick and they have to take medicine, you hide the medicine in a syrup. And so in this case, the syrup is the music and the medicine are these names. And the sweetness of the syrup gives us that good feeling, a good emotional feeling, but the medicine is what cures us of the disease. And the disease is thinking we are not worthy of love, thinking we are not beautiful, thinking we are not enough, and all those different ways that we limit ourselves and hurt ourselves.
Yes, and it's viral.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting because in my experience, the English often has you go into your mind in a different way, into this kind of mental pattern, rather than go into the intuitive, heart-centered space.
Yeah, that's why I haven't done much English, because I just wasn't ready for it. I needed to be deeper in my being to be able to allow English to come out and not take me to, or others to, the wrong place.
Right.
So hopefully that's you know, it's okay.
Thank you for sharing your intent, too.
It wasn't necessarily conscious. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, okay, let's do this. But it just happened, you know.
That's what's so beautiful. That's the process. It just happens.
Yeah.
Rather than we forcing it, when we let go and surrender and open our hearts, anything is possible.
Yeah.
And you've also got a book, Chance of a Lifetime.
Chance of a Lifetime, yeah. And there's a lot of stories in there about my time in India. And basically it's kind of about what led me to this way of life and this practice, and some of the things I've gone through, you know, on the way to getting here a little bit.
And the journey continues.
I guess so.
This is kind of getting off the track. In terms of traveling around and really doing a lot of performances, what are some of the things that are a little bit difficult?
Getting up in the morning is always difficult. In every city I'm in, it doesn't matter where, what country, what time zone, getting up in the morning is difficult.
Are you a night person?
Oh, no. Me, my father, everybody in my family is a night person.
Do you have your inspirations for your creativity at night as well? Or is it just a random...
Yeah, it's really... What usually happens, you know, with a melody or a chant is that I'll hear myself singing it and I'll realize, wait a second, what is this? I never heard this before. And then I'll realize it's a new chant and I'll try to remember it. A lot of them I've forgotten because I recognize them as I was about to jump in the ocean or go to a movie, and that was it. The next is gone. But, you know, it just happens. It just happens. It takes a shape of its own.
Comes through.
Yeah, comes through.
Do you ever have that happen in your dreams where you wake up? I wake up sometimes and I hear melody.
Mm-hmm.
or words.
Yeah, sometimes happens, yeah.
And this morning I had a very interesting morning where the message kept coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And the message was for people to love themselves and love others on a deeper level. And I kept getting that in my mind. What's your experience with things like that?
I do sometimes hear melodies in my at night, and many times, you know, I meet saints of different traditions at night sometimes. And,
nice. Download, kind of like they're giving you downloads as well?
To some degree, you know, I'm really pretty unconscious, you know. I don't know what to tell you. I just kind of fumbling through this whole thing here. I don't have a plan. I don't feel very bright. I don't feel very focused. I just sing. I just chant when I can, and I can't claim any kind of big understandings or any special information downloads from within or above or anywhere. You know, I'm happy when I'm chanting. It's what works for me. It's what makes me, helps me connect to the deepest place, to that love that my guru embodied for me. And
beautiful.
That's all I care about. I don't really want to understand anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be in that love and all the time, you know.
Yeah, it can get a little heady.
I guess so. You know, I mean, what I read now is all biographies of saints, of great lamas, great saints, great this, great that. You know, that's what I read. That's what I like to read about now, how they lived their lives and how they felt about things.
Mm.
I don't really read much philosophy anymore, and I never really did study much. You know, I wasn't good at that. You know, so I'm a one-trick pony, you know. I do this, that's it.
And you do it beautifully.
Thank you.
You have a CD in the actual book, is that correct?
Yeah, there's... I'm glad you're prepared, because I don't... Let's lead this donkey right down the trail here. Okay, thank you. Yes, there is a CD in the book, and the reason is this CD is different from all the other CDs. What it is it's a number of chants that some of them people have heard, some of them people haven't heard, without the response. So, in other words, I'll sing Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, and the music will continue, but there's no chorus providing the response. So you have to.
Brilliant.
So it's total manipulation, and I apologize. But so many people have asked me, you know, how do I get started on this practice? And I say, well, you know, sing along with the CDs. That's good. But you tend to listen a little bit too much sometimes because other people are singing. This way, you really have to sing, and you hear your own voice, and it takes a little bit more effort on your part to do it, which is good.
So you stay present.
Yeah, which helps you really get into it more. So we did that CD separately. It's more simply produced. And most of the guys who are on there, and the musicians are on there, are on Heart as Wide as the World, too. And in fact, they all are, I think, yeah. But it's a totally different feel. Heart as Wide as the World, not only does it have English, it's a kind of more garage band kirtan than anything before. You know, there's trap drums. The great Jerry Murata is playing trap drums, and Mark Egan, the great bass player, Mark Egan's on bass, and David Nickturn produced and played guitar on it, and Steve Gorn, Benji Wertheimer are playing on it. I mean, the great musicians on it. It's just extraordinary, you know. It
must have been fun to record.
It was great, and it's a studio recording, you know. Really, the only other studio recording I did, or the last one, was Pilgrim Heart. This is fully in the studio, and, you know, in a sense, it's more planned out than the last live record, which was, what was the name of that? Heartful of Soul. And most of my CDs are done, you know, live, and then we mix it up and make it sound better. But this was all done in the studio, and it was just really great.
How long did it take?
About 20 years.
I should have expected one of those.
Yeah, maybe 25 years. I can't remember exactly when I started it. It took a long time. We recorded over a period of months in a few different sessions, and then we mixed it last August, and then the record company is getting it together to come out, I think, next month.
Sweet. And thank you so much for advancing us some tracks from that to play on air tonight.
You're welcome.
For the Heart of Devotion workshop, can you speak a little bit about that?
Well, it's just hanging out, really.
Nice.
Singing, talking, hanging out, telling stories, asking questions, and just kind of gently immersing ourselves a little bit more deeply in the practice and what it's about.
Beautiful.
I find that I really like to make people talk a little bit, you know, make them ask questions, because we all have the same problems. Everybody has the same issues.
Mm.
And, you know, you may be sitting there and then you hear the person across the room ask the same question that you would have asked if you had the balls. And then it just changes your whole mind, you know, and then you open up and more stuff comes out. It really helps people to unwind the tension in the heart, you know, and recognize that we're all in the same soup.
Mm. Yes. You know? Beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And we very much look forward to you coming.
Yep.
Much love, big hugs, and many blessings, sweetheart.
Thank you. I'll see you in Tampa.
Thank you.
All right,
peace
bye-bye.
And love. And we've been speaking with Krishna Das. And you can go to krishnadas.com.
Ultrasounds. Brought to you by DJ Elove.